Hello, welcome to In the Know, brought to you by the Racing Post. A very special show for you tonight, as the IT department has decided the Friday night before the last day of Royal Ascot is an excellent time for planned maintenance. But don't worry, the clerk of the scales has objected, and unfortunately I have weighed in light. So we're going to have to rattle through this faster than Bacchio did those 5 furlongs in the finale at Royal Ascot. But never mind what happened to today. Let's look at tomorrow in the company of Mr. Paul Keighley. Hello, Paul.
Hello, not bad. How are you? I haven't weighed in light.
You haven't weighed in light? No, you're clerk of the scales has other objections.
My wallet has weighed in rather light, to be fair. It's absolute carnage for me. Not as much carnage as there was in the coronation.
No, there's a lot of that going on.
And God knows what happened in the last. I mean, how does a winner weigh in 5 pound light and keep the race?
Look, I don't know. Sometimes
how many cans of worms does the BHA 108 run?
I mean, I was saying earlier this week that wasn't it nice to just have a big festival or a meeting where nothing went wrong, and here we are.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, speechless. Cannot believe it's been allowed to keep the race weighing in that light.
Well, anyway, let's not open our own can of worms.
Yeah,
Robbie Wilders, nice to see you. Got the memo about the shirt.
Thank you. Yeah, willed this out. Not freshly ironed, but I hung it on a coat hanger just to try and get the creases. I hate ironing. Can't stand it.
Absolutely. I agree entirely.
Boring, isn't it?
Hence the decision as well. Highlight from you today?
Probably precise, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was it a day glittering with star performances?
I think the ride plus horse. Plus performance equals precise, doesn't it? Mm. Because, you know, she was gunned round the bend. She hit the front plenty soon enough, and she just kept going and going. She's tough as old
Very games. I wouldn't mind seeing her at 10 furlongs. You can kind of see why they were flirting with the Oaks now, in a way. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying she'd get a mile four, but it'd be very interesting to see where she goes, because it looked like for a lot of the race that she might get sort of fanned out for a bit of toe.
Yeah. Admittedly, her main market rival was, getting held back. It's not worth it. In behind. So, yeah. Anyway, look, we're going to have to rattle through because, I said, someone switched the router off. But let's crack on with the Norfolk Stakes. Carry the Flag is 2-1 favourite for Saturday's opener. Flight Signal 6-1. Orthodox 13-2. Easy Tina is 9-1. Force Noir is 10s with Star Prospect and Tribeca. 12-1 Where Love Lives. And then bigger prices the rest. But we have an Aidan O'Brien trained No Nay Never 2-year-old colt who beat Sun Goddess and was second to Great Barrier Reef. And I think that makes him a worthy favourite, Keels.
It does make him a worthy favourite. I mean, the only thing I'd say about him is that he's one of only 3 horses that have run more than twice. So there are loads of horses that could come through. I mean, we saw Sun Goddess get beat, didn't we?
Yep.
By Libertango, who looked very good, so that could easily happen again. And there is a horse in this race who beat Carry the Flag very easily first time out. And the only reason he was as big as he was, I mean, he was 25s when it show opened, but he's been punted rather heavily into 10s now, is Star Prospect. Mm-hmm. Now, he, like I said, he won pretty easily, but then he got beat at odds on next time. And I think that's the reason that he was such a big price. But when he got beat that day, they went a stupidly slow pace. I mean, it was almost like middle distance pace for that first 3 furlongs. And he pulled really, really hard for his head. And, you know, you can't win from there anyway. It was also 13 days after he'd been ruled out of another race for being off his feed. So whether he was 100%, I don't know. So I'd forgive him that. And I just thought he was one to have a go against the jolly, given that he'd beaten him. And he's by Starman.
Yep.
It was his first 2-year-old last year, and he had a winner and a second. He had Venetian Sun. She's obviously doubled up today. He had 101 second in the Queen Mary, and he had a winner yesterday with Moonfall. So it's good signs for him at the moment as a sire. So I like him. And the other one I liked was Force Noir, who's been odds on for both starts, got beat the first time, but then absolutely gagged up at Nace at the end of April in a very good time. And I like that run. I think it was less than 3/4 of a second slower than Mission Central on the same card, carrying £4 more weight for ages that time of year. Suggests 2-year-old should be getting £31 from 3-year-olds. So, he's moved from Robson de Aguiar to Kevin Philippart to Foy.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, that's
the fella. I mean, there's two names that you've got to deal with there.
Yeah.
First time blinkers, don't know about that, but I just thought you know, I like the time he's got. You know, he's got one of the best top speed figures in the field, and those will be my two.
First time blinkers from box 19 suggest he might be trying to do similar to what Bacchio did, but you know, with the correct way, hopefully. But Mr. Wilders, anything in the Norfolk?
Yeah, I've had a couple of flyers, Ross. Carry the flag, not for me at that sort of price. As Kiel's made a good point, he's more experienced than most of them. These juveniles can obviously come forward very quickly.
Yep.
It's always these sort of races, Norfolk Stakes, Queen Mary's, etc. I like to take flyers. Horse that have shown promise in a sole start or two. And I thought Underdog was interesting for Richard Spencer. Very good trainer of sprinters. I thought Goldigger actually ran all right in the Palace Holyrood House, considering where he was drawn today. But this horse only won 6 days ago at Sandown. I thought it was quite a taking effort, actually. I thought it looked a fair race beforehand, decent time, etc. And his sire, Perfect Power, won the Norfolk off the back of a six-day turnaround. I thought it was interesting. The other one I've had is Social Symbol for Simon Ned Crisford. Beat the horse who ran really well in fifth in the Albany on his debut. Did it quite snugly. Got a really nice pedigree. Related to a performer who's ran to 116, a brother too. For the Crisfords, just thought he looks quite a big price, about 33-1 as well.
Yeah, pure US pedigree, which will help with this surface. And the Crisfords are in cracking nick over the past week
or so.
You'd
have to
say so. Drawn 18, so yeah, lots of boxes ticked for that one. Yeah, okay. Carried a flag then 2-1, and of course we will be place laying Flight Signal. As he's a memas. And again, I know Tom says he'll turn around, but it's not.
When though, Tom?
Beat.
When?
When? Is it, how 150 runners? 200 runners? How
it's
many?
It's just a curse at the moment.
Again, like we were saying last night, it just breeds very, very fast horses. And you do need a bit of extra back end stamina to win an Ascot. So, in fact, I'd be interested to see. I might make a note of them all this week, and then, because I reckon they'll get written off of running poorly at Royal Ascot. But if they go to a Goodwood or a Newmarket or something next time out, where it'll suit a memas a lot more, you could get some nice prices about it.
Interesting angle.
So, there you go. All right, so just remind us, for you, Star Prospect and Force Noir.
Force Noir, that's it, yep.
Underdog and Social Symbol, two flyers at 33s, sort of.
All right. Lovely stuff. That's the Norfolk Stakes, the Flying Five, which opens the card. Very different proposition at 3:05 then, the Hardwick Stakes, and it's an absolute banger of a lineup this year. I mean, to be fair, the Hardwick is, again, like the Wolverton earlier in the week, is a Group 3 masquerading as a listed race. This does have a tendency to occasionally throw up a Group 1 class field, and that's kind of what we got, isn't it?
Six Group 1 winners,
isn't it? Yeah, absolutely. It's a baby King George, basically.
Yeah.
Cal Parler, 9-4, Jan Brugel, 9-2, Goliath, 5-1, Best Secret, 7s, Giovanotto, 8s, Ethical Diamond, 9s, Amalok, 16s, with Santorini, Star, and then bigger prices.
Largest Derby winner isn't on that page.
Yeah, Westwind Blows, who got only done 3/4 of length by Calandigan's, not on that page either. Phantom Flight, who's won 500 races in Bahrain over the past few years. And even Sons and Lovers, who was smashed off the boards and sent off a very short price here at Ascot for the Wolverton last year, and has been running really well in Group 2s and Group 3s. This, Robbie,
wow,
is a right old lineup.
Tell you what, if the Hardwick's not careful, it's going to be a Group 1 before long.
Yeah.
Because that's a serious race.
Do you think that would ever happen? Would it undermine the King George, or would it add to the whole thing? I don't know.
I don't think so, no. But it's one we'll pick up on another time, mate.
Yeah. Well, you tell us who's going to come out on top.
It's a deep race. I've changed my mind a bit. I've been chopping and changing. I was really sweet on Giovalotto at the start of the week. I can still see him running really well. He's going to love the fast ground. He's beaten Calpana the two times he's raced against her, once in Kempton quite cosily, and then in the Arc when he would have hated the soft ground. He's just a very reliable horse, and he should really like a stiff mile four Ascot. Goliath, you've got to give a big chance to as well, because, you know, he's obviously a King George winner. He's coming back to form. I liked his prep in the Grand Prix de Chantilly. I'm also looking at this race with a view to the King George to see if there's any possible anti-post angles. Goliath 16s for the King George. Could see that looking a very big price, because I didn't like what I saw from Calandigan, particularly at Epsom. Maybe he's a horse, he might need a bit of a break. I don't know. That race could look a lot different.
Yeah.
Even Best Secret, he's still knocking some 33s, 40s for the King George knocking around as well. I mean, he's easily beating Westwind Blows last time.
Well, he was one of the big. He was sort of the big one from the track of last year. Yep. I thought when he finished third to Key de Bethune, he ran an absolute storm all the way down the wrong part of the track, rattled home, and then obviously he's won at Goodwood. But I mean, he's beat Gethin.
Yes.
At the back end of last year, who's obviously got the ombudsman form. Yep. I know he's improved since, but yeah, there are a lot of Group 1 horses in here, and he isn't one yet, but he looks like he's very much going to be one.
He's on his way, isn't he?
He's
banging the mix for me. Just a relentless improver, and we talked about Gethin for the Eclipse the other day with ombudsman not running. I think he's got a cracking shot. So yeah. I've actually backed three, but the essence of it is I don't like Cal Palmer on this ground against this level of opposition at that price. Jan Breugel, can you trust him after a hard race at Epsom? I can't.
And also round here as well, I think, to a certain extent. So you've Dutch Best Secret, Giovalotto, and...
Yeah, I've gone a bit mad in this race. I've had three of them in, two of them for the King George.
What was the other one? You backed Best Secret,
Goliath, Giovalotto.
Nothing wrong with getting a scatter gun out, Robbie. Nothing wrong at
if
all.
The price
unless,
is right, kills.
Like for me today, they all lose.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, but the thing is, like, that's the question. Sometimes it's like, do you want to back a horse at 9-4, or do you want to back three horses?
Yeah, I've got
that.
You back the horses that you think can win. If you don't like them, I've got no problem with that at all. But perfectly good.
It's price related, isn't it, fellas?
I sort of agree with you. I don't think Cal Palmer wants the ground as fast as it is.
No.
I don't actually think she's considerably better than the other horses in the race. I agree with you about Jan Breugel. He's got a bit to prove now, hasn't he, after that? You know, that was a right slog for him at Epsom. He seemed to hate every minute of it.
Yeah.
And I thought Goliath should be nearly favourite, to be honest. I mean, he's been in such cracking form. Second in this race 2 years ago, then won the King George easily. Again, loves fast ground, but he's been running the top of his form. Third, beating a length and a quarter in the Hong Kong Fast. Second, beating a neck for a massive prize in Doha, and then wins a Group 2 very easily at Chantilly last time. He's in the form of his life, obviously. You know, the main target is the King George, but he's fit and ready to run, isn't he? And he's drawn 10. Now, I know Opportunity won from stall one in that handicap today. Brilliant ride from James McDonald. More nightmares for punters there with jockey switching and hat switches, which caused Hopewell Rock to be backed at 101 to the tune of $4,000, apparently.
Machine
and finished eighth, never looked like winning.
You just need to, 10 years ago, that would have been $40,000. So,
absolutely, yeah.
There'll be some people thinking, I'm glad I don't smash into 101s anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've got to back him for the King George at 16s though, as well, surely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have
why
a
not?
Bit of that, mate.
Why not?
Please.
So I like Goliath.
I'm a Goliath man. Yeah, I love a little Goliath. Actually, it's a shame there's not eight races at Ascot.
Yeah. Well, we've got Union Jacks here. We've got Goliaths. It's all them. It's all that move. Just a message in on the chat here says David. He's well against Goliath. Doesn't like him at all. No. Of course, this is pre-recorded. There's no chat, so you're gonna have to make up your own.
I actually believed you there for a minute as well.
You did. You forgot. You forgot we weren't live, didn't you? You forgot. And especially with your biblical conversion, I thought you would have got the reference as well.
Yeah, I know.
You're a Christian now, Kills.
Yeah.
Really?
Interesting. Yeah. Anything to get him over the line. But as for the rest, I mean, remind me, why have you gone off Giovalotto?
I haven't really. I think it's his day tomorrow, to quote Rodders, as I always do. It's just a deeper race than I thought when I took a view anti-post. I thought it was going to cut up a lot more than it did.
It's funny though, because when I looked at the decks yesterday, and you were earlier in the week, you were saying, Giovalotto, I think this race is going to cut. I looked at him and I thought, oh God, Robbie's going to be really annoyed.
Yeah, I was. A lot of these I didn't think would show up. And the Giovalotto went as short as 9-2, anti-post. Thought, we're in business. And then they're all here.
Yeah, they are all here.
You're allowed to change your opinion though.
Absolutely, definitely, based on new information. You've got two other Royal, you've got Ethical Diamond and Amelok, who are both Royal Ascot winners. Amelok bombed out completely last time out, but there's a possibility that he just needed the run. And Ethical Diamond, I mean, who can rule him out?
Oh, yeah,
really?
you can't rule him out, can you? Won so easily here last year, won at the Breeders' Cup, obviously bounces off fast ground. Still haven't forgiven it for not winning the Triumph Hurdle, but...
Well, that's all right. Well, like I said, but whenever we fancy one for these owners at Cheltenham,
absolutely.
We should just back him
for
Royal Ascot instead.
Big flat races, yeah.
Yeah. All right. A fantastic Hardwick Stakes in prospect then tomorrow. The next race we're going to have a look at is the first Group 1 of the day. It is the Queen Elizabeth II Jubilee Stakes, the big 6-furlong sprint, and we have plenty of international interest here in the shape of Jolly Star, the Australian raider, Japanese raider Sato no Rev, who probably should have won this race last year. Overpass, who we've seen only 4 days ago, running a big race in the King Charles III. And I do love a Royal Ascot running both sprints turnaround. If you're going to come all this way, why the hell not? Comanche Brave, who looked fairly ordinary last year in the jersey, but has dropped back to sprinting and looks an absolute beast. Lake Forest, who'd have a big chance at this track if that box one isn't an absolute kibosh for him. And then there's loads of others as well. So, look, yeah, 2-1 Jolly Start. Again, we keep saying that the Aussies will beat us if they're as good as the Aussies of old. Overpass didn't do the day, but Jolly Star looks better.
Well, she wins races, doesn't she?
She does. You know what I mean?
She's unbeaten this year. You know, when Overpass came over, he hasn't won since November 2024.
Yeah.
Now we've got a horse from Australia who wins Grade 1s in Australia, and that rings alarm bells for the British, doesn't it? It's not going to surprise me at all if she bolts up, to be honest, but I have backed something against her because I can't back 2-1 shots at Royal Ascot.
Yep.
And that is Lake Forest. Now, obviously, there is plenty of fear about stall one, but when there's 20 runners, it's a lot different to when there's 30 runners, because we've seen today already that Trap 3 won the Albany. The horse who was second to Baccio came down the middle and was drawn in stall 11.
Yeah.
Right? And you're not that far from the middle in stall 1 when the stalls are in the centre and there's only 20 runners. Like, yeah. You know, so I'm not going to worry too much about that. He's going to be dropped in anyway, isn't he? He's a finisher, so he can move across slowly if need be. I was just blown away by him last time at Haydock. I know he was entitled to win the race on his form, but he wasn't entitled to win it like that. And it just looked like another one of these cases of a horse that's big gelded and suddenly grown up a little bit, because he was looking a bit moody towards the end of last season, despite running
just
really well at times.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I just liked him. He was second in the Commonwealth Cup 2 years ago as well, wasn't he? So he's got track form. And I think he'll be finishing well if he can keep tabs on them. I think he can run a big race.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, like, apart from Venetian Sun, I mean, Spicy Marg was drawn in low, as was Division, as was Havana Rana. They were all in single figures.
Yeah,
so
yeah, you can, you know.
You just don't want to see him caught on a wing, but
no,
he shouldn't.
Well, you don't want to see him make a decision. I mean, look at the Sandringham. I mean, 11 horses in the Sandringham went to the far side, went to the far side, which is just quite ridiculous. One of those, by the way, spinning around, won by 10 lengths.
On that side.
Yeah, bad horse, man. Yeah.
Keep an eye on that.
Tracker.
Only finished eighth, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, and it's even more pronounced this time around. Mm. So, yeah, there's...
And that horse will go down in the weights, sorry. But that's what I like about it.
Possible. Well,
that's what I like about it.
2 pound drop.
Yeah, it's so well handicapped.
And if it's won an 11-runner race by 10 lengths, it's gone up 13 pounds or something, isn't it?
That's what I love about Ascot, because you find all these eye catchers that ran big career best that get dropped.
Yeah, and then what you want to do, I remember there was a few in the Britannia a few years ago, and there's a... Might be the Mark Johnson at the time, but had made most of the running, finished 7th or 8th. Everyone thought, oh, you know, this, that, and the other. Then went to Windsor next time, sort of 8-1. But this horse is an absolute certainty.
Yeah.
Went off 9-4, got the rail, bang. And you just like, so it's just a completely different, in the next 2 or 3 weeks, it'll be a completely different proposition, won't it?
100%.
So hopefully Lake Forest dropped in from box one will give Mr. Paul Keighley a good run for his money. Now, to a certain extent, Robbie, the problem with this is we're either guessing to a certain extent with Jolly Star, but I mean, the fact that we have three horses that, between us, the amount of, you know, form lines and races we watch are essentially alien to us the vast majority of the time, does make this a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, so your natural reaction is to take them on because you don't know them that well in a weird way.
Yes.
And obviously they're a price. If Jolly Star had a one in front, then we'd be talking her up, but she isn't.
But also, I wouldn't believe if you came on and went, oh, you know, I've been, you know, this horse is an absolute certainty or whatever. This horse is the best Australian sprinter. I'd think, how do you know?
What's your agenda, mate?
Exactly. Like, you're trying to bag a
holiday. What have the Aussies got on you?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to be tipping Jolly Star. I do like Lake Forest, actually, as well as Kiehl's. I remember he's my nap of the meeting last season, the Queen Anne. Sort of a bit of an up and down sort of horse, but almost he got his Group 1 at York. And that, just that, how explosive that win at Haydock was really taken, obviously being gelded. That's obviously enabled him to find a lot of improvement, and he's run well here before. I just like a horse that stays seven, dropping back a stiff six Ascot.
Yeah.
I think Comanche Brave deserves a big bit of chatter for me.
Well, he ticks that box as well, doesn't he? And like, yep, I said, he's got a proper Ascot pedigree. He's, yep, got Ascot form, and he just looked a completely different horse last time.
Is this your shout?
Well, he's one of two, I think, that are Ascot horses that were potentially overpriced.
Yeah, I really like this horse.
If there weren't the Foreign Raiders, he would be a very strong favourite, I think, in this race.
Do you?
I think. Well, I mean, when he bolted up at the Curragh, he went into sort of 5-6 to 1 because they didn't know who was going to be running against him necessarily. So now he's just been pushed out because of the Aussies and the Japanese.
Yeah, that's interesting. It was just really... I remember in the Greenland Stakes before, he opened up about 13-2, and I wasn't watching any racing like for the first part of the day, and then I tuned in to watch this, and he went off 7-4. I was like, that's a significant move, and he won like a Group 1 horse in that. He's very unexposed over 6 still, got the class to stay further. These sprinters just get better and better with experience. He's not running against Kai Ying Rising now, is he? So... yeah, I like him. He's the main play.
The Dam, except Wootton Bass has got a good record here. The Dam won the Jersey. He ran a blinder in the Jersey.
Donica's going to get a winner this week, surely. He can't have all his dad and his brother taking on the limelight.
Well, yeah, well, no, exactly.
It's not fair.
At this point, yeah, he must be pretty miffed. Pretty miffed. But also at the same time, publicly proud of his family. I don't know. Who knows? But yeah, you're right. It'd be nice to have a winner. The other one, who I was saying to you earlier on, he's trying to work out, because if that Powerful Glory win at the back end of last year isn't a fluke, and it didn't look it at the time, he's obviously had a spin at the Curragh to get him right for this.
Yeah, absolutely. And he ran, he was last in his warm up for the Champions sprint last year, wasn't he?
He was last at Beverley in soft ground.
Last at Beverley. So, you know, he's actually, that's a massive improvement on what he did first time, he did after a break last year. So, yeah, you wouldn't be surprised if he ran really well.
Yeah. And then one more I did have on the track. I thought Saeeda Darian ran a blinder at Newmarket.
Actually, funny enough, I did too. I could see her running well without winning.
Yeah, she's one for the elaborate each ways, possibly the each way extras down to
your favourite
eight places or something. Yeah, sneaking to eight. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be a very interesting race for sure. But you're taking Lake Forest?
Yeah, I'm going to take a chance with Lake Forest. Hope the draw's not a complete disaster.
Mr. Wilders?
I've had a bit on Lake Forest, but Comanche Brave is the main play.
All right, there you go. Yeah, well, Saturno Rev should have won last year. I think he's obviously going to be in the mix as well. But Comanche Brave will be the main one for me as well. Then we're off to the Jersey Stakes, where Sabre Strike is 5-2 for William Haggas and Tom Marquand. 5-1 is Into the Sky. The Prettiest Star 15-2. Catalyst 8-1. The Secret Adversary is 9s. Avicenna is 10s. Kalari Forever and Neolithic are 14s. The Jersey Stakes, the way I like to go into this normally is, do you have any horses who have run in better races than this and over further and are now dropping down because they either didn't get home or they weren't quite good enough in Group 1s, and there are a lot of horses that tick that box. However, the one who doesn't is the favourite, Sabre Strike, who bolted up on debut at Redcar, and you know, the time was good. The old stride-length watchers, Robbie, were foaming at the mouth over Sabre Strike, and then he went to Newmarket last time out and essentially bolted up again. So it's not really a Haggas style horse in my mind.
No, not really.
But he looks pretty special.
Really like him, yeah. You just want a bit more juice in his price, considering he's very lightly raced and he hasn't beaten horses this quality yet. He might go and do it. Liked him at the start of the week, hoping he'd be bigger odds, and he's not.
So, he collapsed in price straight away, as soon as the prices came up.
Yeah.
But people were falling over themselves.
Yeah. What was the initial price?
Yeah, I think it was 8.
8, really?
Yeah, he was eight, and he absolutely collapsed as soon as the prices went up.
See, he's very much been. I was talking to somebody today. Said, "Oh, the stride on this horse. He obviously works incredibly well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Albeit he went off 11-2 at Newmarket.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that price.
Haggas won this with Aklam.
He did.
Similar profile, just 2 runs. In fact, only a maiden win to his name.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
You know, so
it's just very.
He's done it before. I mean, he's He's another one of those horses that doesn't have the form to be as short as he is, but probably but might win anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're the sort that really annoy me because I feel like I have to take them on. I mean, the one thing I'll say is once you take into account that Stella Sunrise, the favourite last time, just didn't run its race
and
has finished last next time out as well,
yeah.
Then all Sabre Strike's actually done is beaten a fellow maiden winner. You know, in good time, etc. Like, you know what I mean? It's a decent piece of form anyway, but it doesn't separate him from the rest. You know, and I can't back a horse at that price, and it's William Haggis who will probably win. But I really like Catalyst. I mean, I've backed him at a bigger price than he is, but it's just one of those. This horse was really highly regarded last season, and we showed serious promise on his first few starts, third to Distant Storm, second to Publish, and he just seemed to go off the boil a bit. And, you know, he seemed to lose the plot second time out at Maidan in February, so they gave him a, and they gelded him 2 weeks after his last run there, and then they gave him wind surgery a month later, and he came back in that Goodwood handicap, and he looked for all the world a proper group horse there, didn't he? Absolutely bolted up. I know he had a good draw, but even so, he just bombed through the race, and he won as well as he likes, and I'm just sort of hoping that now the penny's dropped, he'll be a big player in a proper group horse.
Charlie Appleby's shockingly out of form.
Oh, Charlie Appleby's shockingly out of form. You know, I keep hearing this absolute nonsense, isn't it? Opera Ballo's ran a blinder. Talk of New York's run a blinder. Del Maro got beat, what, a nose or a short head or whatever. Amarho Bay would have won Hampton Court with a clear run. I mean, if that's out of form, well, you know, a certain part of my anatomy is a kipper.
I wasn't expecting it. Comment below which part. Yes, no, don't do that. Definitely don't do that. Oh, my word.
He's just not had many runners this week, really, has he?
No, he's not. And he's not.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're running really well.
He just can't get him over the line, though.
Don't be mean to Charlie Appleby.
They're running really, really well.
I think he can defend. Look, he'll get beat here, and then he'll go to Glorious Goodwood and he'll bolt up. That's what will happen. But, I mean, again, there's loads in here. I mean, Into the Sky, this should be, in theory.
See, I thought he was a sprinter. I wanted him to run in the Commonwealth Cup.
Yeah.
I really did. And, you know, I know it was a good Guineas, but there were two very good horses in the Guineas and everything else, given the distance they've got beaten. They haven't even run to listed level.
Yeah, true.
You know, and that's what worries me.
Yeah, no,
it's not like, you know, we've had loads of horses come from Guineas and win the jersey, but they haven't been beaten 12 lengths. Yeah. If you get beat 12 lengths in the Guineas, you're 12th, like, you know, normally, you know.
But,
that worries me. That's the only thing. I'd love to see him win because he's Epsom trained. And
this is a Group 3, though, as well. It is,
yeah, it is, know. Yeah. It is, but he actually has to improve a lot on that run.
I mean, you could argue that, you know, the prettiest star's probably got the best.
That's a serious danger, yeah.
Comes out well clear on adjusted RPRs.
All right.
Yeah, it is about 15 to 2.
Is she the pick for you?
She's the main player. I've had another one that's not on the graphic.
Talk to us about the prettiest star.
Yeah, prettiest star. I mean, it's obviously run an absolute belter in the 1,000 guineas of up, getting home. True Love's done that form too much, too badly since. That's not a sentence, Rob, is it?
It's not far off. Precise as well.
A week.
Yeah, Precise obviously makes that form look pretty good.
I thought I'd just really like her as a 2-year old. I was eyeing her up for the 1,000 guineas, like in the anticipation whether she might do that, but she looks more of a 7 furlong, maybe even a sprinter. Probably more 7. 7 looks ideal. I'm sure Ed Walker's like convinced that's the right trip. Just got the best form, really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, True Love's won it. Obviously, then gone on to be beat by Precise, who was 7. Abashiri, who was 5th, was then 3rd at Newmarket.
Yep.
At the Curragh. 6th was Tooley. He's obviously been a blind today as well. 8th was Spicy Marg. 11th was Venetian Sun. So, they're everything out of the fillies this year are on fire.
Yeah. It could be very good. Yeah,
maybe even more.
She's a massive player.
Can I mention my other one?
I think the Secret Adversary is a player.
Oh dear!
I know he's under a penalty. Obviously, Fuzzy Stacks had a win this week, and he was second in the Chesham last year, and he didn't get the best of runs in the Irish Guineas. He doesn't really stay a mile anyway. I thought he'd run well as well.
Yeah,
I also like Morris Dancer, who is the highest rated horse in the field.
Can you do a Morris Dancer?
I don't even. I was just thinking in my head, like, how does it go?
Yeah,
what is it?
I don't know, but the horse rings a bell.
Morris Dancer.
It's let's not. Yeah. You got you got bells on your shoes and round a not a mulberry bush. Yeah. And what you call it? A maypole.
Let's never do that.
Let's never do that.
Yeah. Let's talk about Morris Dancer the horse.
That's for premium subscribers.
Yeah, it's behind the paywall. Morris Dancer. Really liked him as a 2-year-old. Beat a bit of spirit in the Stonehenge Stakes at Salisbury really easily. I thought this could be a Guineas horse. I actually backed him for the Guineas at 33-1. I thought he might be the one to break the Gosden hoodoo. Maybe he's had his issues, you'd probably assume so because we've not seen him in so long. But JG can get him fresh, get him ready first time out. His juvenile form is good. He was very progressive. He almost beat Zavateri at Goodwood. Mm. Didn't get the best run that day from memory. And just interesting. I thought he'd have a good season. I'm waiting for Palace Pier 3-year-olds to kind of take off this season because he was a slow burner. It's not really happened yet, but we're still in the first half of the season. I don't know. I had him earmarked as a very high-class 3-year-old for next season. He's not had the chance to show it yet, and maybe he will tomorrow.
I agree, but I also had him sort of down as he's making his seasonal appearance in this. Part of it, like he's won an absolute blinder at Goodwood last year. Part of me is like
Goodwood.
Yeah, as in we're aiming for. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So nice run here. Just blow away the cobwebs.
That was my mental note next to him.
Yeah, it's just one of those because I have a bit of previous of the horse, so I couldn't afford to let him run really well without having a few quid on. But the prettiest star is the main play. Yeah.
I thought again the big. I don't think he'll win. But he will not be out of the mix, and I think Andab will outrun his odds. He just never runs a bad race. The only bad run he's had was at Goodwood, where he got smashed up coming around the bend, and he had absolutely no chance. He's finished third to Talk of New York. He's finished second to Causeway. He's finished fourth last year in the Coventry, third, fourth, one of the two. So he's 20-odd to 1. He will finish fourth. If he's third, fourth, fifth, and I'll be thrilled to bits because that's where I'll back into place.
The Ross Brierley tailor-made.
I'll take the 11-08, the 6-4, or whatever it is to finish at the 6-7 or something, or even 22-8, whatever it is, and just because he will Joseph O'Brien, bang down the middle, course form, everything, probably not good enough to win.
A lot to be said for an honest horse.
Yes.
That you know isn't going to win, but he'll just try.
Honest enough. They put the visor on. He's not too honest. Tells a white lie every now and then.
Nothing wrong with that, mate.
But sometimes you just got to, haven't you? You just got to.
Of course you do.
That's why I said I loved your shirt.
It is horrible, isn't it? Let's be honest.
What's worse, mine or yours?
I'd rather wear yours. Do you want to swap?
Not right now.
It's too late now, isn't it?
Let's move on to the Wokingham, where we have a huge field of sprinters lining up for this 6-furlong handicap. Binaria, 4-1. Double Rush, 9-2. Realign, 8. Spy Chief, 11s. £10, 11s. £10 is 11s. Completely Random is 12-1. Fandom is 14s with Far Above Dream. And again, you've got two horses who clearly look group horses in handicap. Binaria should have won by off the track at York last time out. Went past nearly every runner and only got done a neck. And Double Rush did win by half the track on its penultimate start and then by a quarter of the track last time out. And it's obviously been kept for this race off that mark before they inevitably step into group company. So, but we've been here before with Wokingham horses, haven't we?
We have been here before with Wokingham horses, and you know, some of them prove up to it, some of them don't. I mean, I did like, out of those two, I preferred Double Rush of the pair. I mean, the trainer was talking about July Cups and the like afterwards, after last time. I think, you know, I think he's the one to beat, but I've backed a couple at much bigger prices, as I always do. If Royal de Zabil wasn't drawn in stall three, I'd be having a proper go on him at 20-1, but it's 20-1 because he does have that draw, but I can't let him go unbacked. A proper all-weather horse, I think he's £7 higher on the all-weather, but no surprise that he runs his first race at Ascot and equals his previous career best on turf last time out when fifth in the Victoria Cup, when he looked like he was coming there to win it a furlong out last 50 to 75 yards was his weakest, and I just think that 6 furlongs on turf here is better for him than 7, and I think he'll finish his race out really strongly there, and that's £7 lower mark than his ability. You see the way he won at Southwell earlier in the season in a listed race there. I mean, he's got a right chance of 102, but he's got stall 3. And horse he beat there was Apollo 1, and he did thrash him there, but it's Ascot, and Apollo 1 loves Ascot.
Yeah, and he's £12 below his last year's mark.
Yeah, he beat 3.5 lengths last year. He was seventh, he's £12 lower. He's been second in this race before as well. He's won a Group 3 at the end of the season 2 years ago. Would have won it with a clear run last year. Can't see any. I don't really believe that he's regressed anywhere near as much as £12. And he has got stall 31. And they put Christophe Soumillon on. I think he must have a proper chance. I know he's an eight-year-old, but eight-year-olds have won this, haven't they?
Yep.
Outdo.
Yeah, David Amar is, what was that called?
Outdo. Outdo, was he eight? Was he
six? He was certainly, up there, wasn't he? Mm. All right, there you go. Two in the Wokingham for Mr. Paul Keighley. What about Mr. Robbie Wilders?
You've got to have two in the Wokingham, haven't you? You can't just have one.
You've got to have at least two.
Yeah, one on each sort of, one on the middle, one on the high for me.
All right, take it away.
£10 is screams well handicapped to me.
Yep.
Ran a really good race. First try at 5 furlongs in a listed affair at Carlisle. Last time on stable debut for Joey Ramsden. Stayed on, the time was really good. He's top on the top speed figures for that. And he's got Ascot form. He was third in this last season. Just looks like he's been aimed for it with Jamie Spencer on. Jamie Spencer would have had offers, plenty of offers, I'd assume, in this race. That's interesting to me. At bigger odds, I like Evening Saigon for the excellent Hamad Al-Jahani.
Absolutely. You tell us why he's going to run a big race and I'll fill in anything you missed.
Again, another lightly raced sprinter, like he's been Harriers and double rushes. He's been improving a lot. The only bad race he's ever run was on awful ground at Doncaster. He's come back, he's won an all-weather race snugly, and then he's ran a blinder at Goodwood, considering the pace was fierce and he was always up there. He was just nabbed by Far Above Dream, who came out and won at Newbury since. Plenty of others have acquitted themselves well in behind since then as two. They're well clear of those horses.
I mean, not even literally every other horse in either one next month, they got done a neck, they got done a short head, everything ran a blinder.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't have been able to keep going as well as he did and finish 4.5 lengths clear of the third, given how fast they went early on.
100%, yeah.
He should have won that race, but he just went a bit too quick.
You're quite excited about this one, aren't you?
He's monstrously well handicapped. It's just, it's just Royal. If he goes that quick at Ascot, he might get swamped again.
That's the problem.
He might be a Stewart. Again, we could talk about, he might be more a Stewart's Cup type, but he will win a good race this year. Mark my words.
Definitely. And it could be a plus that Callum Rodriguez is aboard because it's making him a bigger price. Callum Rodriguez rode him to win at Newcastle. Because people don't see that James Doyle's not riding in or James McDonald, they're thinking, he's a bit of a waff and no-hoper. I don't see it that way. Rodriguez knows the horse.
Yep.
I think he has to go well.
Yeah. Actually, I don't have two in. He's the only one. I had him marked off. He's got 29. He's got box 29. He's one of the only ones I've marked off pre-Royal Ascot. He's actually got a good draw for once.
So that's still got 22-1 or something. Yeah, that's massive.
So there we go. Right. Okay, two more to go then. Royal Ascot 2026, the Golden Gates Stakes for all you San Francisco fans. Lost Boys 4-1, Zahara King 9-2, Princeling 11-2, Harmonix 13-2. Accredit isn't running. Evanesco 10s, Perisher 11s, and 14s Bar. Again, love a 3-year-old handicap, and this very much is a 3-year-old handicap, and it's a tough one, Kales.
Tough one. I'm normally all over the London Gold Cup winner when it comes to Royal Ascot, but not 100% sure. And I actually thought that William Haggas's Princeling was going to be his London Gold Cup horse. He was entered at the 5-day stage and they decided to wait for the Silver Bowl. And they should have gone for the London Gold Cup because he found a mile way too short. I love the way he finished the race at Carlisle. I think he's going to be much, much better at a mile and a quarter. He's by Kingman out of a mare. He was just touched off in the Musidor and finished sixth in the Oaks. I think he's going to improve. Got an outside draw. I think there's every chance that's going to run really, really well. I have backed the Alan King horse as well, his only other entry in the race. He was spiced, this is. He was fourth in the London Gold Cup, didn't get the best of runs. He's got stall two to deal with, which might be an issue. But again, I just thought that was a really, really nice run. And with the yard going well, he's £7 better off with the Fav, and he's 16-1 and the Fav's 9-2.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. I didn't even quite realise today that Harmonix has been declared, and I thought, crikey, this is a group horse in a handicap. I didn't know he was going to go for this, but he dotted up in a strong time at Donny last time out. Again, it was just a figure where I was like, this horse is a listed slash group horse, and he's here. 97, some people might think he's quite high, but I think he's going to win a good race. Shane Foley's only won from, I think, 64 at Ascot, which worried me slightly when he's up against jockeys who are riding out the skin.
He's not had the Zhang Yusheng gig for long. Maybe he's getting better firepower now.
That is a good
just
point.
Just to play devil's advocate. This is a race that I have left alone because I really wanted to back Prince Lin, and he's just... I didn't get round. He was open up at 16.
I like your
16s.
Son. I got some.
Did you? He opened up at 16.
Share and share alike, Keels.
Opened up at 16s. I was under. I couldn't get to the shop. Pound. And then he's gone. So I really hope he loses.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Keels has made the case. I can't really add anything there. Yeah. Interesting. Obviously, you've got to respect the London Gold Cup form. The Emir of Qatar has bought the first three in the London Gold Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
He's getting very excited about that form line.
Well, but I think it's smart.
It's always good form, isn't it?
It is.
It's right. I've just got to leave it alone now because I was looking for this race and thinking I've probably tipped six or seven of these horses this season already.
I like
all of their profiles, and I don't think there's anything really overpriced now. So
worth mentioning that Sahara King just got touched off in the London Gold Cup, and Evanesco absolutely thrashed him.
Yeah, he did. But true. Evanesco did get a new market. Ride and Sahara King did it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So I think Sahara King... I think he'll turn the form around with Lost Boys.
Yeah.
But I think Harmonix, he's the fly in the ointment because all these others are in those form lines. And he did a number the other day where I thought, crikey, this is a really nice horse. And he comes in... He's the new kid on the block, potentially.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, mm-hmm. Right, let's round it off then with the Queen Alexandra. 2 miles, 5.5 furlongs. As ever, you know what it is. It's a strange old race for various horses with very different profiles. And the betting is as follows. 2-1 Ledestria, 3-1 Illinois, French Master 5s, Columbus 11-2, A Piece of Heaven 7s and 16s Bar. I don't particularly like this race. It's traditional. Sure, have your fun.
I don't like it. You call it a jumper's bumper. We've got a Group 1 horse in the race in Illinois and he's not even fab.
Yeah.
But he's got no chance of staying, is he?
You've got French Master who's a Royal Ascot winner, but every year I try and find something.
Yeah, I've got no edge in this at all. I don't think so. We'll go for Baby Jesus and Professor McGonagall, the Wizard, which is what we should call him.
You're having a religious conversion. Yeah, you're going for a piece
absolutely.
Of heaven
again. Dylan Brown McGonagall, let's give him a spin around. We're calling him, his nickname should be the Wizard.
Yeah,
right. It's perfect for him because he is a magician. And a piece of heaven. There you go. But that's a guess. I've got no interest in the race.
No, I mean, again, if it's come to this point, then hopefully we'll have all cashed out by now. Robbie, anything in the last?
Let's leave it alone, I think. Yeah. I mean, I've obviously had a look at the race. One thing I will say is Illinois has got to be more knackered than us this week. I think he is, that's a tired horse to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he's the Illinois that we saw a year ago, two seasons ago.
It would be some performance, yeah, beaten 142 lengths. Last time out, off the bridle, before they went in the stalls.
He simply needs to have a lie down.
He does. He needs to have a little bit of a chill out.
Ledestria was very eye-catching behind Scandinavia
that
on his
true.
Prep. That was his first run in something like 600 and... I haven't got a laptop, so see how my memory works. 667 days at Leopardstown. So I don't know if he's going to bounce off the back of that.
691. You weren't far off.
One at a stupid price. Hip Hop de Loire has been fifth and sixth in the last two Ebors.
Yeah.
And if he was still trained by Willie Mullins, he wouldn't be 80-1, would he? Now, there was a horse at Aintree a few years ago that ran at the November beating at Aintree, and it had gone to some other trainer and from Willie Mullins, and it went off at 66-1, and it won.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And this horse has actually got the ability to be in there. And Nick Schofield... I can't remember who the trainer was, but Nick Salford's a better trainer than the one who had the 66-1 win at Aintree.
All right, fair enough. Right, last day of Royal Ascot then. That's the previews done. Naps of the day for the Saturday, starting off over there with you,
Snakebite
Robbie Wilders.
Let's go. Can I have Comanche Brave?
You can have Comanche
in
Brave.
In the sprint, yeah, I really like him. And the Queen Elizabeth II Jubilee Stakes, Ross.
All right, you can have Comanche Brave.
I'll go Catalyst in the Jersey.
Catalyst in the jersey. I will go Harmonix then in the Golden Gates. Hopefully Shane Foley gets a good tune out of him. Okay.
Good man.
We've had some fun at games. Thanks to Keels, to Robbie, to Keith, who was on earlier this week, to Tom Siegel, to the IT department. Thanks ever so much for making our life a hell of a lot easier. dear. Right, we're off to reboot the 56K modem. Thanks to the producers, Bell and Will, as well, for keeping everything that was in their control going this week. There you go. If only I hadn't unplugged the router to try and iron Robbie's shirt. Anyway, enjoy the last day of Royal Ascot. See you soon.